Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Maybe not good night. If you're listening to this, maybe listen for a while before good night, before sleepy time. So all the others apply, maybe not good night. Good start, I should say. Hi, Paddy here. We're back. I'm back. Back here once again to talk about ME and our chronic fatigue syndrome. We haven't settled on a name yet. I'm waiting for an expert, if there is such a thing, to come on and tell me what to call the illness that I have, you know. So for now, ME/CFS, I'm not going to try pronouncing it again this week after the debacle that was last week. Talking of last week, before we get started, apologies for some of the background noise in last week's episode. I have one of those, you know, the lucky cat, I think, is it called Maneki Neko, quite possibly. I have a solar powered one of those in the room that I record these, and it waves back and forth. And I didn't realize, and I've never noticed while working in this room, that it's quite a pronounced clunky noise every time it waves. But obviously, listening back to last week's episode, that became quite obvious. So apologies for that. And also, I have quite a creaky chair. I've realized that as well. The good news is the lucky cat has gone. Where to? I'm not actually sure. He's in a better place, folks. He's in a better place. The chair remains, though, so I will try and sit still, which is difficult for me at the best of times. Slurping update, no coffee today. There is a bottle of water in the room, so I can't promise there won't be any pronounced slurping either. Well, that's the business out of the way. How are you doing today? I'm doing all right. I think I'm doing slightly better than last week. Slightly better. This is a Tuesday I'm recording this. And it's the weeks I'm trying. We'll talk a little bit, probably not today, maybe next week, if we don't have a guest on. We'll talk about coping strategies. That'll be really good, actually. Let's talk about that next week. I'm pushing myself a little bit at the moment. And I'm waking up tired, obviously. We discussed that in last week, waking up tired. But I'm waking up particularly worn out every morning. But I'm still going ahead with the habits that I have developed over the last couple of weeks, healthy habits. But I'm beginning to feel that they're a drain. They're really draining me, you know, but I'm still kind of keeping up with it. So we'll see how far that goes. And I think it'll be really good then to talk about maybe coping strategies next week. That'll be really good. And obviously, we'll say right up from the start and throughout, I really want to hear from you guys about your experiences. Email me. Tweet me, direct message me, come on the show to talk. I want this to be a collection of everyday experiences of ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. So please get in touch. The email is itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com, and it isn't. And Twitter, zero all about me. Follow on Twitter, direct message, get in touch however you like. Come on the show if that's a bit too much, or you're not really, you know, a kind of a person who wants to do that sort of thing, then email me, you know, drop me a message, and we'll share experiences that way. There's lots of opportunities, and I really want to make sure that can happen. If there's more I can do, let me know. So coping strategies next week. What did we say this week? This week we said we would try and explore We talked about symptoms last week. So this week we're looking at the symptom we didn't really get onto, or sorry, the consequence of those symptoms emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whichever one of those words you're most comfortable with, pretend I, you know, delete the other two, whichever you're, wherever you are, whatever you feel comfortable with, we're talking about that. The impact on you as a person, on me as a person. I had an interesting experience on this, and I do, you know, I really want to, I am grateful, you know, gratitude's very important to me. I'm even having this illness, which really sucks, I can, you know, talk to you about it, and I'm really grateful for that, so thank you for listening. So I hope that we can find a way to not make this a totally miserable 20 minutes or so ahead of us. I still haven't worked out how that's going to happen, but let's just, it's the reality of the illness though, after all, isn't it? So maybe I shouldn't worry too much about that. So I had a situation about 3 weeks ago, which really sums up the impact and consequences on us, on me, inside the me, the Paddy, of this illness. I was due to go and visit a family member who lived probably about only 2 hours away, you know, 2.5 maximum, for the weekend, with my wife, and it was on a Friday, so we're going to stay till the Sunday with this family member, and you know, I was looking forward to it. It had been you know, just a general, not amazing, not atrocious week health wise. It would have been when I got there, relaxing, you know. They always provide wonderful food and good company and that sort of thing, and I obviously appreciate my illness. So if I had to have gone away and had a rest, and not participated, then they wouldn't have had a problem with that either. So anyway, we decided, oh, let's leave mid-afternoon on the Friday, lunchtime on the Friday, and we were driving, and we stopped about halfway for lunch at a place. And in the car, on that car journey, I started feeling really tired. You know, that kind of soul-cloggingly thick and heavy, painful tiredness, where your head just, you know, your brain slip out your ears. And there's nothing but a thick fugue of weariness. So that happened. We get off, go to this place for lunch, and I'm sitting eating lunch, and I'm just losing everything. My body just feels like it's at one time becoming made of, you know, ultra heavy, but also liquid, and I'm just woozy. And I start thinking, oh no, because I know my family member was looking forward to seeing me and my wife. I know my wife was looking forward to going to this, visiting them, and having a weekend of relaxing and, you know, being nice meals and all that. And my wife had driven by this point quite a while, and she doesn't like to drive, you know. And I'm sitting in the middle of this meal thinking, oh, damn it. What am I going to do? Because it's not as simple, and it should be, really. It should be, I'm not well. Sorry, let's go home. But oftentimes, and I've spoken to other people about this, it's not that easy all the time. So I stopped thinking about how, you know, plans had been made, meals had been prepared. I was going to let those people down, my family members I was visiting. They were excited. You know, they must have made the spare bedroom, all that kind of stuff you go through. When you're having a guest, I started thinking about letting my wife down, and you know, she'd taken an afternoon off work, she'd driven, which she doesn't like to do. She had maybe, you know, she was looking forward to a quiet, peaceful weekend away. Then I started thinking about me and about how, you know, damn it, why can't I have something? Why does this have to happen? You know, I was looking forward to the trip away, how, you know, this illness was messing that up. Then I started thinking about, well, okay, so I'm feeling like I'm going to have to say, jeepers, I'm really sorry, we're going to have to turn around. But what does that mean? That's going to make her angry at me. And she's a lovely person. And obviously, you know, this wasn't going on in her head. This is all in my head. I want to really make that clear. My wife's fabulous. And you know, I am so grateful to have her. I'm an incredibly grateful man to have my wife. But in my head, obviously, I'm thinking she's going to hate me. You know. And then I'm thinking, well, and remember, this is just a wee weekend away. It's not flying anywhere. It's literally a couple of hours away for the weekend, you know. But all these things, I'm thinking, okay, so if I raise this now and say, look, I'm really sorry, I can't, we're going to have to turn around and go home. I'm not going to be able to, there'll be no quality whatsoever, you know, to the visit. What does that mean? Is she going to worry then? Because, you know, things have been kind of all right that week. Then is she going to worry about, oh, is this always going to be the case? You know, what will she always be the main and primary and sole, you know, earner, money earner, that responsibility on her, to have to carry me and all the, you know, we pay the rent or when it comes in the future, pay the mortgage. And this is a reminder to her that, you know, this will always, I am unreliable in that area. And all this goes through my head. And this is just while chowing down on a vegetarian lasagna in some pub, you know, in between my family member and my house. You know, she's probably happily chowing down on her lunch. And you know, all this is going on in my head. And obviously, I'm exhausted already. So how do you think this, all this train of thought's happening? So I'm thinking about, oh, if I say this, then she's going to, you know, think that you know, she'll extrapolate from this moment to a representation or a projection of what our entire future will look like. Well, we'd obviously never be able to have children because she would have to be the sole breadwinner, the sole carer, you know, because I can't be relied upon to be there when needed every time, you know. Whew. Talk about trying not to make it, you know, too cheery. Sorry. But all this is an example. Oh my goodness. How heavy do you think that makes a person? All that. Cancel a week. It happens all the time. You cancel plans all the time. Because you will. And of course, let's go back to the old one. If I even had, let's not, you know, we don't need to go near the really big illnesses. We don't need to talk about that. Let's just break it way back, roll it way back. If I had a stinking awful cold, would I be making that journey? No. Of course I would. I'd call up my family member and say, oh man, you can hear my voice. I've got a stinking awful cold. You know, I'm spluttering all over the place, sneezing. And I'm not going to make it. And they'd be like, oh, geez, yeah, you sound awful. Get a hot water bottle, get some soup, get to bed. You know? They're not going to say, ah, I'm sorry about your cold. And the fact that you can never have children. You know? That's been a bit silly. But this is what was going through my head as I'm sitting eating my vegetarian lasagna or whatever it was. And of course, in the end, I just have to, because I was too dead, I had to say, look, we got to go home. And we did. And my wife was obviously fantastic about it. My family member was obviously deeply sympathetic about it and fine. Everybody was fine with it. But see that, I mean, I was already not feeling well. And that little journey I went on where from feeling too tired to do a weekend away, it was reminding me that the future was not good and everybody knew that and I was a failure in letting everybody down. And why on earth would my wife want to stay with somebody like that?
I mean, jeepers.
That's just one instance, but that's quite, those kind of feelings I think are quite common. I mean, I have to work very hard, and I do work very hard to resist that thinking. You know, coping strategies we're talking about next week, but I probably should make it very clear now. I'm not dealing with these feelings every single day, or if I am, I have tools and ways of coping with them, which mean that actually, in general, as I started the podcast, I am grateful. I'm grateful, I'm hopeful, you know, I'm just kind of allowing myself to go back to that place to share with you how, you know, the symptoms and the impact they have on me sometimes. Another kind of, I think, thing that really kicks you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want to say, is obviously the perception, how the illness looks to the outside. And I was talking to a friend about this just the other night, so it's quite fresh in my memory. We were talking about another hidden disability that my friend has, but it was very comparable. How people, obviously, and especially loved ones, they want us to not be ill. Of course they do. They love us. So they're always looking for hope, aren't they? Or they're at least always looking for their loved one not to be ill. So, and goodness me, wouldn't we all feel that way? And we all do feel that way, I'm sure, about other people who are friends and loved ones who get ill. That's quite difficult, I find, with this illness, because as I think I mentioned, and I'll mention more next week, I will, if I'm feeling well, I'll go for a little run, you know. If I'm not in my bed and I'm able to move about a bit, I will try and exercise. Socializing really kills me, but you know, I will try. I will. Except, okay, I'm going to be messed up for a few days after this, but I'm still going to go to have dinner with my parents or something. You know, I will. I just arrange the week so that there will be, when the fallout comes, there'll be nothing, you know, I'll have no responsibilities, so I'll make way for that. So I do. Now, the thing is, turning up to have lunch or dinner with loved ones or friends, sitting throughout the meal, you know, chatting, being good company, and maybe referencing the fact that I went for a run. What does that tell you? You know, there's reason for, oh, you're, and you'll hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. Oh, you're doing really well. You're looking great. You're doing, so everything's going good this week. And what my friend the other night and I were talking about with hidden illnesses, hidden disabilities, was that no. If you see me, I'm well enough to be seen. But, and that's fine. That's good. And that's wonderful. We should be celebrating that. But we can't extrapolate from that when I'm not there, I'm still that good. Because I'm not. I'm really not. But that's the hard bit for people to grasp. You know, you're out at dinner, you're talking about having gone for a run or, you know, recorded a podcast. Anything that you weren't lying in bed, unable to move, unable to process or engage in anything. So therefore, you must be doing all right, but you're not. You know, that's the hard thing. I think, is dealing with that, because I want to be well, and I want other people to be happy about that, but it's very difficult, because then I'll be like, the next week I can't come over to dinner, and I'll hear, oh, you were doing so well last week. Well, no, I wasn't. You know, I was doing well for the 1 hour and a half that I was in the presence of the loved ones. But after that, as you know, as I know, I probably crashed for days as a result of that. You know? But it's, if people only see you when you're good, of course they're going to think you're good when they don't see you. And that's just not the case. And again, is it for me to educate people on that? Is it for me to burst that bubble of hope and happiness? I don't want to do that. So that makes it quite lonely then, doesn't it? Which is probably why I'm recording this podcast. So yeah, that can be, I think, a tough symptom that can lead to isolation, you know. And again, this is where I'm so grateful to have friends and my wife who really understand my illness and or me, you know, because people don't have to understand my illness. I'm grateful for love. But it can be quite tough, can't it? It can be quite tough. This one of those misunderstandings come about. And I think that there's another, I'll stop with the stuff after this one. It's probably a little bit tied in with that, and well, probably the two tied in, and that's honesty. As I've said, I'm sometimes I'm able to go for a run, right? Sometimes I can't get out of bed. Most of the time, I'm in between. Waited, as if you listened to last week, I'm probably on the sofa, right? If my wife comes home from a hard day's work, and she works hard as the sole breadwinner, and I'm on the sofa watching Netflix, that's not good, is it? The most compassionate, Christ-like figure out there is going to get a bit... That's going to be difficult. And I know that's difficult, and I feel it too. You know, that's really heavy. That's really hard, I think. You know, I'm sure there's resentment. I can't talk. I might have my wife on sometime to talk about things on this show. But not today. So, and I can't guess or assume what she thinks. As I said, she's a very sympathetic and lovely person. But I'm sure that's tough, right, on her to come home and see me on the sofa. Because here's the thing, ME suffering, when you haven't been able to process anything, when your muscles are dead, when your head is a thick, thick fog of nothing, you can't pull words out. And every notification on your telephone, whether it's Facebook, a message or an email, exhausts you before you even find the energy to turn your phone over and look who it is, and let alone you can't reply. So you're slumped on the sofa and you're watching Netflix because you just need something to kind of just have in the background as you're waving in and out of consciousness. That looks a lot like somebody on the sofa watching Netflix, doesn't it? That looks a lot like somebody binge watching Netflix all day. And that, I think there would be flaring up. If it was me, as nice as I would like to think I am, I'm sure sometimes if I'd come home from a crappy day at work on, you know, on a Tuesday, knowing there was three more days of the week to go, and I saw that, I'd probably get a bit narked at that. I'd probably be a bit resentful. And obviously I can't speak for people and my wife, but I feel guilty about that myself, right? I don't want to be the source of that resentment. And going back to my first episode, I don't want to give the impression that this is how it will always be. That might be the case, that might not be the case. Again, I need a doctor to come on and tell me what the statistics are of recovery, but it's so different with each person. that actually, as much as it gives me pain, it gives me hope, because I don't know how long this is, or how this will evolve, positively or negatively for me. I just don't know. There's no consistency. I've been tracking it for 3 years now. There's no pattern that I can see. So that means it can go up, down, stay the same. I don't know. But I feel bad when situations like that might arise, and I feel in myself, even though it may not be true, but I feel it in myself that the other person is thinking this is how it's always going to be. And that's, again, the people who love us most, the people we're closest to, that's going to kind of isolate us from them, isn't it? Because we feel like we're letting them down. So it's a terribly lonely place, isn't it, in the end? It's a terribly lonely place. The people who don't quite, are because of the goodness of their hearts, because of their yearning for hope and positive signs, who don't grasp the gravity of the illness. And then the people who do grasp it, but we don't want them to suffer in the grasping. And that leaves us. And that's hard, isn't it? That's hard. That's been a bit of a downer. How long have we been on for? Just over 25 minutes. I feel like we need to end in a song or something. I can't sing. Maybe, you know what? I don't know. That's the reality of the illness. Maybe we leave it there. You know? There's plenty more I could say, but those are just kind of the three things that came to mind this week as I've been recording this. So there's plenty more, and please share your experiences. Do you know what? We will leave it here, because that's the reality of the illness that we have, and I want you to feel okay about sharing your not-so-great stories. You know? There's power in sharing. Of course there is. You know, so we're here for each other, I hope. So get in touch. Zero All About Me on Twitter. Zero, the number zero, All About Me on Twitter. It's really not all about me at gmail.com. It's really not all about me at gmail.com. I don't know why I repeat them, seeing as you're listening to this on a recorded device. You could really easily just rewind. Why? It's, you know, that's silly, isn't it? Anyway, and I've neglected to do this the last first two episodes, so apologies. The music that you hear before and after the intro and the outro is Feeling Sunny. Feeling Sunny by Scott Holmes from the Free Music Archive. So check that out if you like the little ditty playing before and after. All right, next week, if we don't have a guest, we're going to look at coping strategies. I've had ME diagnosed, I think, for about 4 or 5 years. Ever since the diagnosis, I have had things recommended to me. I've tried things off my own bat. I've read. I've got excited about breakthrough coping strategies, and then being disheartened, whatever the community wrote these off as being no good. I've seen experts, and I have tried, you know, things that were based on speculation, rumor, and old wives' tales, old husbands' tales. What? Old wives' tale? Old wife, that's a weird one, isn't it? Maybe we should not. The tale of an old wife. What the heck is that? Let's maybe not use that term again. That's interesting. Anyway, jeepers, that got away from me. It's been a real episode. Please get in touch. But for now and until next week, thank you so much for being part of the experience. And I look forward to hearing about yours. Till then, take care. Cheers.